You got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the deal's done.
Dave Plyer back with you on 720 WGN. So Grammy Award-winning country superstar and music icon Kenny Rogers has enjoyed great success during his storied career of nearly six decades. The Enduri Country Music Hall of Famer and pop superstar has endured music lovers around the globe with his amazing songs, heartfelt performances, distinctive voice, gift for storytelling, and universal appeal. And all this year, Kenny is embarking on what will be his final world tour with a show that will celebrate his musical legacy, The Gambler's Last Deal. And he's been kind enough to join us this morning. Good morning to you, Kenny.
Good morning. How are you?
I am fantastic. Congratulations on this retirement. I know you're dealing your last hand, and after six decades of entertaining fans, you've decided to officially hang it up.
Well, you know, there's a point in your life to where you have to say, first of all, I've accomplished everything I set out to do. And that in itself is exciting. But, you know, I have two boys that are 12 years old. And if I don't get to spend some time with them now, that will be gone. And I know that I had two older boys, and I didn't spend the time with them. I went out on the road and worked and tried to improve my position. And so now my goal is to spend time with them and be a better father.
Well, and I've heard you talk to about your father, your own father, that you really didn't get to know him or about him until really after he passed. And I have to assume that might be one of the reasons, too, you know, encouraging you to spend that quality time that maybe you didn't have with your dad.
Well, yeah, you know, it wasn't so much that I didn't know him. I didn't understand him. You know, he had a lot of problems, and I didn't know about him. And we just assumed that he was, you know, he was an alcoholic. And the family never bothered to say, well, why do people become alcoholics until after he died? And then I had a great deal of respect for him after that.
Now, when you were just a kid, you know, I know your inspiration for music, your mother told you to go find a job you love and you'll never work a day in your life. What was your appeal?
Right.
What was your appeal to get into music?
I went to see Ray Charles. I took my sister to my mother made me go with her and chaperone her and her new boyfriend to see Ray Charles. And it was literally life-changing for me. I kept thinking, well, who wouldn't want to do this? People laugh at everything he says, and they clap for everything that he sings. And so that's how I had my first kind of direction finding that sent me off in a direction. But I just think, and he sang so soulfully. I mean, he would really make you cry when he sang. And I thought that was a wonderful touch.
Now, country music was your first love, but you obviously got into Ray Charles music. And I know you were first in a jazz group called the Bobby Doyle Three. What was how did you get into that group?
Well, Bobby was blind. And he asked me to play bass in his jazz group. And I said, Bobby, I don't play bass. I play guitar.
Yeah.
And he said, there's more demand for bad bass players than bad guitar players. And I'll teach you how to play bass.
That's great.
And he did. I mean, he did. He taught me how to play. And he was just, he was a lot like Ray Charles. He played piano like Ray. He sang like Ray. And then we'd flip a switch. And we do something jazz that was totally different and 10 times more difficult. But it was just that he sang, he had a great sense of humor, Bobby Doyle did. And we did some funny stuff. And it was just a great time in my life. And I felt like I grew exponentially in music. The things we did were so meaningful to me. And it was an exciting, it was, you know, the best years and the most exciting years of my life.
Wow. And that's cool to hear that because, I mean, you really have hit every genre of music along the way. And yes, that certainly strengthens you as a performer because, you know, you're the new Christie Minstrels. You remember the first edition. So you hit jazz and rock before even diving into country music.
Yeah, and well, country music was really my base. I mean, when I was a kid, my mom used to listen to Hank Williams and Hank Laughlin and little Jimmy Dickens on the radio when she was doing her ironing. So that's what I heard, and that was kind of my base for music, I guess. But Bombay gave me an opportunity to learn depth in music, to learn jazz, and to learn the beauty of the music of the 30s and 40s. And that was a special time in music. If you think about it, it was during World War One and Two, and their music was very uplifting. It was like, we're going to be okay. And
yeah.
I love you. Let's take a ride in my car.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of what it was. And then the 60s is where it got very vocal and very confrontational. And I learned to do that. And I learned the reason for that. We did Tell It All, Brother, and a couple of other songs for the first edition that were questionable in nature. But they were, like Condition. Was just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in. Was pretty out there. But it was a great time in music. Music, the great thing about music is if you don't take it too seriously, my mom gave me another piece of advice that I think has helped me all my life. She said, son, never be happy where you are. Don't be content to be there. But if you're not happy where you are, you'll never be happy. And that really helped me, because even in the low times in my musical career, I realized that I was doing what I wanted to do. And all I had, I was still making music. And that's all I set out to do.
Some great advice from your mom. How much of your mother influenced your career in music? I mean, you said you listened to a lot of what she listened to when she was ironing and around the house. I mean, she's given you some great advice. She sounds like she was quite an influence.
She had a third grade education, and she had so much knowledge. I don't know where she got it, but she had she knew more about life and how to live it than anybody I have ever met. Even since then. And I just, my mom shaped my whole life. I got my mom's sense of humor.
Awesome.
I mean, my mom's sense of values and my dad's sense of humor. Because my dad was a very funny man.
It's a great combination to have.
It is. And it's helped me through everything, having both of those strengths.
Well, and it's provided you with such an amazing career. I'm looking at this: 125 million albums sold, one of the top rated movies of all time, the number one selling duet of all time, Country Music Hall of Fame inductee, American Country Music Awards, American Music Awards, CMA, Grammys, Songwriter Hall of Fame, nominated for a Golden Globe. What an amazing life!
That's what I mean. I mean, there's nothing else to do. So I might as well stay home with my kids.
Yeah, I gotcha.
And I think it's been a very rewarding career. And, and you sit back and you win those awards and they stack up and you go, boy, that was really fun. But I don't know of anything that can top what I've done. And so I'd much rather be a good father. I told Wanda when the boys were born, I only hope I can be the father my father wasn't, and be there for them and do the things they want to do. So they're 12 years old, and they really are amazing kids.
It's amazing what you say, too, because you learn a lot from your parents in a positive way. There's things that you want to do to emulate them, but there's also things, I think, over life you learn what you don't want to do, and that helps set the stage. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely, and I think that's what I did. I learned my mother had great values and great senses of direction, and she had 8 kids, too. And my father really... I don't want to undersell him, because he had a great sense of humor. He could make you laugh without really trying.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved that. And his entertainment level was very low, and he didn't do anything that was particularly impressive. It was just funny.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very cool. That's very cool. Well, you have influenced so many, Kenny, over your life. And, you know, as I said to you in the beginning, when I was growing up, you know, I have to be honest, I wasn't a big country music fan. The Gambler, the song and the movie and who you are as a person made country music cool to me.
That is so nice, and I do appreciate it. You know, and I'm excited about being in Chicago. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely is. You know, so many artists are lucky to even have a single signature song. You've got countless trademark hits. Which of your biggest hits would you say is most reflective of who you are as a person?
I think The Gambler is, you know, it's not about gambling. I just worked a casino, and I was telling him about it. I don't think casinos love this, but I said, you know, I learned that I can't win enough to excite me, but I can lose enough to depress me, so I don't gamble.
That's a smart move.
But it's just, I think The Gambler is a great sense of value song. And Islands in the Stream is a very fun up song. I mean, still, I think that gets more response than anything else I do. And Lucille is a great story song. I mean, it really is. And there's a bunch of Ruby Don't Take Your Love to Town. A bunch of those songs. I mean, I don't think I realized how many hits I'd had until Linda Davis came out with me. And we do Every Time Two Fools Collide that I did with Dottie West.
Which was a classic.
She does. Yeah. Oh, and she does But You Know I Love You that I did with the first edition. And she does it great. So we must do 30 or 40 hit songs in the show.
Well, and you get people so excited. The crowd, because I've seen you perform, the crowd gets crazy. And they sing along a lot. Does that bother you that they sing along? Because that is something that bothers
me. I love that.
Okay, good.
The louder they sing, the less I have to. No, I love that audience. Inclusion. Like I said, that's what got me with Ray Charles, is that people sang along and they loved him and they enjoyed his music. And that's what I hoped to do with my life.
Well, we're talking to country music icon Kenny Rogers, and there's more after this on 720 WGN. Dave Plyer back with you on 720 WGN. We're talking to the legendary Kenny Rogers. You've had so many famous duet partners over the years, Kenny, especially in the early days with Kim Carnes, Dottie West. We just played Islands in the Stream with Dolly Parton, who you recorded some of the biggest hits in the history of music with. What do you treasure from that relationship?
Well, you know, I was watching some of our films the other night. We were trying to decide what to put in the show, and I realized what a special person. Not that I didn't know this, but on film, the way she smiles, mm-hmm. the way she laughs, sure. makes her special. And that we were very good friends and had great success together. And we are still good friends. She's on a tour now, too, and I don't know that it's her final. I don't know that she said that, but she's much younger than I am. I think she's only 25.
I got nice. Well, what I love about this, too, this relationship and what you see, the chemistry you two on stage, you guys flirt a lot, but it never really turned into anything else, which I think the public at certain stages.
And I will give you my word of that. But it was so much fun.
I bet.
I felt very, very safe flirting with her. And I think she felt safe flirting with me, you know, and on stage, it gave us an opportunity to establish some characters that were fun to do.
Well, and there's so much about her too that, you know, again with the chemistry and everything, you established a friendship, and it's hard to want to take something someplace else and ruin that friendship too.
That's exactly the reason we didn't do it. We knew that if we had, that it would ruin everything. So we just kept it where it was fun.
Yeah,
and we knew neither one of us. We're going to go over that border And you know, we made a deal. She told me once, and I told her the same thing. Anything I say to you comes from love. So take it that way and don't ever misinterpret it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. What a great relationship.
It is, and it was. We don't see each other that much anymore, mostly just for specials and things, but she's got her life, and I have mine. That's how it was supposed to be.
Well, and you did this phenomenal Christmas album that I think is legendary. You know, and I think you know this, when you do a Christmas album like the Andy Williams, the Perry Como's, the Frank Sinatra's,
right,
those albums,
right,
Johnny Mathis, are always out there. You're part of that. And really, sometimes these holiday songs and these albums get you introduced to whole new audiences just through that.
Well, you know, I did a Christmas show for 30 years, yeah, literally. A major Christmas show, like 30 days in a row. And it became a big part of my life. And Christmas is more important to me, I think, than any holiday, because I've never been overtly religious, but I've always been deeply spiritual.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Christmas gives me a chance to do that and say that. And I just love it. I've written a one-act play that we did on Broadway, and we did it for 5 or 6 years on the road, called The Toy Shop. And it was a Christmas play for kids, and it was really wonderful, and there was some great music in it. So, you know, every project you take on, you grow a little bit.
You were inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame, really celebrating your career in Nashville a few years back. What did that mean to you?
Well, it meant a lot to me because my boys were about 10 years old at the time, and one of them said to me, "Dad, I thought you were in here a long time ago." And I said, "Son, let me tell you something about the Hall of Fame. It's not when you get in, it's that you get in."
Nope.
I said, because the Hall of Fame is forever. Music comes and goes.
That's so true. No, that's so true. But I will tell you that I was surprised it came so late. I mean, you're absolutely an icon in music. And I have to ask you this.
Well, I think, I'm sorry, you go ahead.
No, go ahead, please.
I was just going to say, I knew it didn't take but one trip with me to go to the Grand Ole Opry to realize I didn't fit in. And I knew that. I knew that I was coming from somewhere different, that I loved different music than the, it's not that I didn't like the old music. I just wasn't capable. You know, the only two ways you can compete in business is you do the same thing everyone else is doing and you do it better. And I didn't like my chances of that. Or you do something that nobody's doing and you don't invite comparison. And that's the only way you can.
Yeah, great advice.
And you run the risk of not being accepted because it's different. And I knew that. And it I won't say it hurt, but it did bother me that I wasn't in there because I felt I had all the criteria for it. But I understood that I'd taken that chance of being different a long time ago, and that was part of the price.
Well, and we celebrate you as you come to Chicago this weekend on your final tour. And I have to ask you, you know, you've done movies, music, television. You've also been the subject, and this is one of my favorites, of a Seinfeld sitcom episode about Kenny Rogers Roasters. How did that all go down? I got to ask you that question.
Well, he opened for me when he was first starting out.
Is that right?
On the road. Oh, yeah. He opened for me, and he was so funny. But I think he loved the idea of taking things that happen on the street and making them funny. And he asked me, and we gave him, you know, the entire setup. We created the set for him. And it was a very funny bit.
It was fantastic. It was legendary, and it was great to see you on the screen doing some comedy. It was a lot of fun, and we look forward to seeing you at Ravinia tonight. And for more on the legendary Kenny Rogers, his final tour, albums, and so much more, you can visit KennyRogers.com. Kenny, honor to hang out with you, and enjoy this year-long celebration of your amazing career.
Well, I thank you so much. And I've been in and out of Chicago so many times, and I've spoken to WGN when I first started. Was like a big part of my career.
Well, that's cool.
And I'm excited about coming to town and seeing everybody. And I hope you'll be there, and I hope you'll come say hello.
I will do that, sir. I will do that. Thank you again.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
All right. Country music legend Kenny Rogers, everybody. All right. News is next on 720 WGN.